Welcome to Perspectives. I'm Joan Herman. On January 23rd, Oregonians will decide in a special vote-by-mail election whether to approve Ballot Measure 101, which would continue Medicaid health insurance for some 350,000 low-income residents. The money would come from a 0.7% tax on net revenues of hospitals, as well as a 1.5% tax on some but not all insurers. The measure would generate approximately $320 million, plus up to an additional nearly $1 billion in federal matching funds. Proponents argue the measure ensures that nearly all Oregonians are covered by health insurance. Opponents claim the measure amounts to an unfair tax on only some Oregonians, including small business owners and college students. Joining me by telephone to speak about the issue are Measure 101 proponent Felisa Hagens of the Yes on Healthcare campaign, and Measure 101 opponent, Oregon State Representative Julie Parrish, Republican Wes Lynn, the co-chief petitioner of the referendum. This program was pre-recorded. Welcome, Felisa and Representative Parrish.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Representative Parrish, I'd like to start with you and ask why you decided to work to get the referendum on the ballot.
Well, thank you. I think that's a great question. Measure 101, what we're asking voters to consider is not whether or not we should fund Medicaid. I grew up in the Medicaid system. Dr. Hayden, who's one of the other chief petitioners, is a Medicaid dental practitioner, spent his career taking care of this population. We both agree that we need to make sure that people who are legally qualified for the Oregon Health Plan get access to that plan, and we're committed to that and looking through different ways to fund that, because we believe that the $330 million, which is a piece of an actual $13.69 billion budget, we believe that that $330 million represents taxation on the people who can least likely afford to pay it. It is an unfair tax because it hits individuals, college students, small businesses, nonprofits, and even takes revenue out of our K-12 public schools because of how they buy their insurance. It does not tax Oregon's largest corporations, unions, and insurance companies that self-insure. And, you know, in the long term, as the federal government requires Oregon to pay even more money for Medicaid in the next biennium, it doesn't solve the sustainability question of how we make sure our Medicaid budget's protected overall. And so the nearly 90,000 Oregonians who signed a petition to get this on the ballot, you know, they're not represented by a lobbyist. They can't make big campaign contributions. And this bill only had one public hearing, and that public hearing was posted for hearing on a Friday before Memorial Day weekend. You know, people aren't paying attention to that, individual citizens, so they wouldn't have even known to come and to testify against a bill that only got one public hearing. And so that's why we're taking this to the voters, and we're urging them to vote no on 101.
Okay, Felisa Hagens, would you like to respond?
Sure. The first thing I just want to start with is really focusing on what Measure 101 is about, and that, frankly, is to protect health care coverage for the million people who are on Medicaid, including 400,000 children. You know, we hear from our opponents a lot about college students. Well, there are 350,000 college students in the state of Oregon who have health care, and many of them, like myself, get health care through the Oregon Health Plan. So that's why Measure 101 is supported by 160 coalition partners, including the AARP, the American Association of Retired Persons, the Oregon Medical Association, Nurses, Oregon Nurses Association, and including the health systems like Columbia Memorial, right there in Astoria in our own community, who support Measure 101 because they know it's the only guarantee to protect the Oregon Health Plan and anyone who's on Medicaid.
And you mentioned the Oregon Health Plan. That is the organization, the state agency that administers Medicaid in Oregon. Is that correct?
Our Medicaid program in Oregon is called the Oregon Health Plan. Other states have named their Medicaid different things. In Washington, it's called Washington Apple. But in Oregon, Medicaid and the Oregon Health Plan are the same.
Okay.
It's administered by the Oregon Health Authority. I think that's what your question
was. Okay. But organ health plans, some people might be a little confused about exactly what that is. But it provides Medicaid, doesn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
So
okay.
If you are low income in our state and you sign up for the organ health plan, that you're on a Medicaid program.
Right. Okay.
And that's a shared funding, pays for Medicaid, shared by the state and the federal government.
I suspect that there's a lot of confusion among voters about this ballot measure because it is very complex. So some people might be wondering, would all Medicaid residents in the state be losing coverage if ballot measure 101 fails? How does that work, Felisa?
Well, if ballot measure 101 doesn't pass, then the legislature comes back into session, I think, and right now there is no plan B. So they would begin cutting benefits for people who are currently on Medicaid and begin cutting people off the Oregon Health Plan. Both Representative Parrish and I agree that there needs to be some level of funding for the Oregon Health Plan. And frankly, we know that Measure 101 is the guaranteed solution right now that helps protect that coverage for anyone on Medicaid.
Okay.
Well, and I guess, you know, we would dispute that there is no plan B. There were legislation drafted in 2017. We are bringing legislation again in 2018 to look at how to do this without taxing other people's health care. And I hear a lot from the proponents of the tax that, you know, health care is a basic human right. And so we're asking voters to consider, okay, if health care is a basic human right or it's a human need, which certainly agree with that, is that we all need health care, you know, how does taxing it make it more affordable for the small businesses in your community? You know, your local coffee shop, if they have insurance through a small group plan, will pay this tax. For Starbucks,
and
will
that,
not.
That tax,
we don't think that's fair.
Now, that would be a 1.5% tax on insurers, and they would be prohibited from raising their premiums more than that amount. Is that correct?
Well, they would be prohibited from taxing you more than 1.5% because that's how much the tax is. But understand, your smallest businesses in your community this year just got double-digit rate increases in their health care plans. So the 1.5% tax is actually on top of some people who called me from your community and said, from the coastal communities and said, we're getting, because we have such few choices for insurance on the coast, we're actually seeing rates that are, you know, 25 and 30% rate increases for our small group plans this year. And so the 1.5% tax is actually a tax overlaid on top of the rate increases insurance companies already got. And Section 8 of Measure 101 is what allows insurance companies to pass that tax on to individuals who are buying their health insurance through a small group plan for their small business, for their nonprofit. And so we objected to that. And that is part of the repeal, is taking out the language that lets insurance companies pass this tax along.
But they could not go beyond that 1.5% that they will be taxed. I think a lot of people may not understand that.
That's currently part of the law.
Yes. The tax is 1.5%. So the insurance companies can't tax you more than 1.5%, or could be the tax collector for that 1.5%. But, you know, the problem 2 years from now is, or in the 19, you know, legislative session, is the legislature is going to need additional funds to, you know, pay that. So we anticipate, if voters vote yes, it's like a sign to the legislature that taxing insurance is okay. Therefore, we believe that there will be people who come back in the next legislative cycle and try to raise that tax rate up.
Felisa?
Thanks, Joan.
Sure.
What I would say is I just want to jump in here on a couple of things that Representative Parrish has pointed out. She continues, her and both Representative Hayden continues to talk about an alternative plan. Well, the legislature looked at their numbers. The Legislative Fiscal Office looked at their numbers. And they
were over $30 million.
Representative Parrish, I really would appreciate, we're both trying to speak here.
I do.
On the phone.
I understand but please be honest. The legislative fiscal numbers need
Let's stop for a second. Nobody will hear what you're saying if both of you speak at the same time. So, Felisa Higgins, and then you'll get a chance to respond, Representative Parrish.
So in the process, when coming, the bipartisan process that was worked out between the legislators of both parties had a discussion about what added up to the $330 million that got us to the $1.3 billion to fund the Medicaid program. The proposal that Representative Hayden and Representative Parrish are putting forward falls $30 million short on the health hospital assessment, and it falls in, and still requires a tobacco tax. Now, we know that that tax only falls on a certain portion of the population. Measure 101 is a bipartisan agreement that came together with a huge number of groups have come out and supported Measure 101. No organization has come out in opposition to Measure 101.
Is that true, Representative Parrish?
No, there are organizations that protect small business owners that most certainly oppose the National Federation of Independent Business, the Taxpayers Association of Oregon. There are small groups out there that are, you know, tax watchdogs who have evaluated this and spent years evaluating tax policy and say that this isn't a good idea. But, you know, the thing is that the legislative fiscal never scored our bill. So to say that it's been scored is simply false. There's no documentation if you did a public record search that any scoring of measure of our alternative
bill. Explain what you mean by that, scoring the bill, for somebody who might not be aware of that.
Where they actually add up the numbers. And so a scoring of the bill is when they actually add up the numbers and say, does this, you know, cover what we're trying to fund? So nonpartisan fiscal office would actually look and look at the proposal and then say, yes, it adds up or doesn't add up. There has been no official scoring of our bill because the way to get a bill scored is it has to have a hearing, and the Democratic majority did not hear our bill, which is, you know, we appreciate that they're in the charge, they're in the driver's seat, they get to do that. But our referendum system is actually sort of a check and balance on that power. And so, you know, when you have a bill that was crafted by special interests in, you know, in a closed room with no members of the media, with no cameras, and then out pops the bill a few weeks before the session ends, you know, it's just not a very fair process. And so, you know, 90,000 Oregonians, nearly 90,000 of them agreed, Republicans, Democrats, and independents alike, because this isn't a partisan issue. It really is a checkbook issue. And so, you know, voters are going to get a chance to vote on whether this was the fairest way to fund Medicaid. And to say that all these folks will lose health care is simply not true. The legislature gets to come back into the legislative session in February and use it as it was intended, which is to do things like budget balance reconciliation, and we can get that done in 35 days.
Felisa Higgins, is it true that Oregonians who are on this program would not lose coverage if the ballot measure fails?
There's no guarantee that Oregonians will not lose coverage if the ballot measure fails. And in fact, in 2003, we heard the same claims that if Measure 30 failed, that the legislature would come back together, they'd find a different solution. There is no plan B, Joan. And so that's why we have, you know, 9 newspaper endorsements. That's why groups who have fought for Medicaid coverage for decades, when it comes to who have fought off the attacks on the Affordable Care Act, are supporting Measure 101. Because we don't want to go back to the days in our state when we held a lottery, frankly, to get people health care. We don't want to shut the doors when it comes to people's health care. That's why your hometown hospital, Columbia Memorial, recently sent out an email to everyone on their staff talking about the importance of Measure 101 and the importance that it passes to provide the absolutely needed care for that community.
Representative Parrish, if hospitals are being taxed, which they would be 0.7% beyond what they're already assessed, why would they support this bill?
Well, I think that hospitals are going to be able to very easily pass this rate on. I mean, hospital bills are already not transparent anyway, but they'll be able to pass this rate on in the form of higher hospital costs. I literally just left the debate. And understand, you know, Felisa Higgins represents a union. She is a lobbyist. She's not a lawmaker. She's a lobbyist. And, you know, and it's her job to lobby for things, and she's paid to do that. I just left a meeting with a state lawmaker, a debate with a lawmaker, where there were two hospitals in the room, and they said, yes, we support this. And when they were asked by the moderator, well, how are you going to pay for the tax, they couldn't actually answer that. So we know that $120 million of hospital taxes are not going to somehow be paid for out of the goodness of your local hospital's heart. They don't actually have those dollars sitting there in reserve to pay. You know, they're going to have to pass that higher cost on to ratepayers. And so when your child breaks their arm, you'll be paying more for that at the hospital. That is just flat out common sense. I think the other thing that should create some cognitive dissonance for voters is, you know, why is it that insurance companies, specifically around the insurance side of this, you know, they just spent a fortune telling you to vote no on Measure 97, yet they knew that we needed to fund Medicaid. And so now suddenly they're paying to vote, you know, please vote yes on 101. It's because they got an exemption in the law that allows them to pass the tax on to other people. So, you know, when you've got Pacific Source, the insurance, who spent $175,000 in the No on 97 campaign, those corporate taxes they couldn't use as part of their rate setting, but the insurance taxes in Measure 101 they can. So now they're saying, yep, no, this is a better tax.
Okay.
Because essentially it is a tax for thee and not for me. And that is what the people who are the pro-tax supporters, you know, understand.
Okay. If you're just joining me, you are listening to a pre-recorded discussion about Ballot Measure 101, which Oregon voters will decide in the special January 23rd vote-by-mail election. If approved, Measure 101 would continue health care for some 350,000 low-income Oregonians. I'm speaking by telephone with Measure 101 proponent Felisa Higgins of the Yes on Measure 101 campaign and Measure 101 opponent Oregon State Representative Julie Parrish, Republican West Lynn, a co-chief petitioner who worked to get the referendum on the ballot. I'm Joan Herman on Perspectives on Coast Community Radio. Felisa Higgins, I think you were about to jump in there.
I was. I feel like sometimes we get lost in a debate a little bit about other issues. Other ballot measures come up, other issues around healthcare reform and healthcare transformation and issues related to, I think, how we want to change our healthcare system, which a lot of the proponents of Measure 101 are huge supporters of changing our healthcare system and making it more affordable and more accessible. No one would doubt that AARP has been a healthcare champion, frankly, and that they have been a long-time supporter of healthcare reform and affordable healthcare. That's why they're out here supporting Measure 101, because they know that a huge part of the healthcare puzzle is making sure that every single person in our state has access to care. We're at 95% healthcare coverage right now, and if ballot Measure 101 fails, we could go backwards. And as I stated before, we don't want to go backwards. We don't want to go to the days where we're holding a lottery to determine if children get health care, and we're holding a lottery to determine if people in our state get health care. Measure 101 is about having a sustainable health care plan right now that helps us move forward, and anything else is a gamble.
Representative Parrish.
Felisa, that's so disingenuous. We have more money in our general fund and lottery dollars than we've ever had in the history of the state. And in fact, after the legislature adjourned, the legislative revenue forecast said not only is there $47 million more dollars for the rest of this biennium, there's going to be $150-some million more going into the 1921 biennium. The fact is that we don't prioritize our money correctly. And, you know, Ms. Higgins represents a union that just at the very end of the legislative session finagled $100 million of raises for their members. I get that's what their job. Their job is to go advocate on behalf of their members. But, we keep hearing we have no money for things, and yet we also watched our legislature spend after House Bill 2391 passed and we had no money. Apparently, we found $55 million to cover all kids, which, you know, whether you like the policy or not, it's $55 million of additional state spending to cover kids who are not legally, have a legal, you know, lawful presence in America. We have federally qualified health centers that were doing that health care before, a lot of them. But we said, no, we're going to add them to Medicaid for $55 million. But because they are not here legally, the federal government won't match those dollars. We added $10 million in general fund spending to cover a universal abortion mandate bill, House Bill 3391. And then the $100 in raises for SEIU. So $165 million of new spending that went in at the very last minute of the budget, when we sat there and heard at the very beginning, we have no money and we have to do all of this, we have to raise these taxes. And so, you know, we believe that when we asked our legislative colleague who was carrying the bill for Cover All Kids, the $55 million, where does this money come from? And he actually said on the record, I don't know. But we believe that this is that sweeping of these healthcare dollars for other non-Medicaid expenditures that's going to happen if voters say yes on 101.
Isn't there a risk? Oh, go ahead, Felisa.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask Representative Parrish, isn't there a risk, though, that if the measure fails, health insurance coverage could be disrupted for those 350,000 Oregonians who depend on Medicaid now?
So we don't think so, and here's why. Because the number of dollars that we're asking voters to say no to, the taxation of other people's health care, does not actually add up to the amount of money Oregon spends to cover 350,000 Oregonians. So when we put somebody into Medicaid in this state, they are assigned to a coordinated care organization that kind of brokers the health of their people. They make sure they have a doctor and a dentist and a mental health provider if they need it. And that coordinated care organization receives, on average, $430 per patient per month. So if you just simply added and did the math and said, okay, 350,000 lives times $430 per month times 24 months in the biennium is $3.61 billion. Measure 101 is 9% of the overall, if you could fully match every dollar, it's 9% of the overall Medicaid budget. That means 91% is intact. And $330 million, even if you could match it all for up to the $900 million more, does not equal $3.61 billion. To say that the legislature would come back and do nothing to address this is just nonsense. We have the ability to come in and reset this budget, that the 9% that we're talking about at the highest level of dollars over a $13.69 billion budget. Their math doesn't add up, and it is a really great scare tactic being funded by insurance companies and people who are profiting from our Medicaid system.
Felisa Higgins, do you agree with that?
No, I don't agree with that on several levels. First of all, I think that when Representative Parrish goes through the math and she talks about how Measure 101 is 9% of the overall cost of the Medicaid budget, that's true. But if we were going to cut 9% of the Medicaid budget out, there are over a million people on Medicaid. There are a million people on Medicaid, and there's also a really critical service list. So those 350,000 people are absolutely at risk. That's why when we talk about the coalition of community health clinics is supporting Measure 101. And I think that the other thing that Representative Parrish wants us to bank on is that we're going to go back to the legislature and find a solution where no one loses health care. That's a core principle of this argument. And I think we've heard this time and time again from national leaders. We support Medicaid. We support health care. Everyone should have health care. We just want to repeal what we currently have and replace it with something else. Well, we know that's disingenuous at the national level if it's said by Mitch McConnell or Donald Trump or Paul Ryan, and it is disingenuous at the local level, too. The reality is that's why 160 organizations know better. They are the same organizations who fought to fight for the ACA at the national level and there at the local level. They know that Measure 101 is the best choice.
Okay. Felisa Higgins, I'm going to give you the follow-up question. Have you had a chance to get out on the street and talk with residents and get a sense of how they might vote? Or have they even had a chance to look at the voters' pamphlet yet?
I have, actually. I actually have been walking in my own neighborhood and talking to voters who are my neighbors, and it's been really great conversations. You know, we had over 900 volunteer hours over the weekend of folks who are out talking to voters because they know how critical it is. That every single time we've had a voter outreach day where we go to talk to voters on the doors, we've had more people come than who actually sign up, which is such a rare thing to have happen, because they know how critical the issue is.
Okay.
And I think when we talk to Oregonian, it just reaffirms Oregon's values that people really do believe that everyone in our state should have health care, and
okay,
how critical a piece Measure 101 is to that.
Thank you. Representative Parrish, what have you heard from your constituents?
Well, I mean, I have a constituents who are paying mortgage-sized, rent-sized health insurance bills. And, you know, we've talked to a gentleman who lives down on the coast, you know, lives in Walport, buying health insurance for his daughter because she doesn't qualify for any government programs. And, you know, he has now one choice of insurance, And last year, you're paying $758 a month for health insurance. And, you know, SEIU and Ms. Higgins believe that he's the person who should pick up the tab for Medicaid. We just don't buy that. The fact is that for a lot of families, they are making the very tough decisions. Do they pay for this health insurance, which up until now, the federal government has actually said, if you don't buy health insurance, we'll tax you. And then the state of Oregon rides along and says, if you do buy health insurance, we'll tax you. Either way, you know, they're caught between a rock and a hard place. So we've talked to folks all summer long while we were gathering signatures. People, you know, my personal cell phone is published in the voter's pamphlet. And I've heard from lots of individuals who said, you know what, thank you for stepping up for us because, you know, we aren't tracking everything that's happening in Salem, and we are impacted by these types of taxes, and particularly when, you know, Regions Health Insurance is asking for money to be subsidized on the reinsurance market while they are being, you know, posting banner profits. Sort of like in this campaign, up is down. You've got insurance companies begging to tax them. You've got individuals out there saying, you know, and people who largely all believe we should have health care. We have thousands of Democrats who signed this petition because it's not a Republican or a Democrat issue. It is a checkbook issue.
Okay.
We can't afford to write our own check.
We are out of time. Unfortunately, we are out of time. I want to thank my guests, Felisa Higgins of the Yes on Healthcare campaign, and Measure 101 opponent, Oregon State Representative Julie Parrish, Republican Wes Lynn, a co-chief petitioner who worked to get the referendum on the ballot. They join me by telephone to speak about the ballot measure, which would continue health coverage for some 350,000 low-income Oregonians. Thanks, Felisa and Representative Parrish.
Thank you so much, Joan.
Voters' pamphlets and ballots have been mailed to all registered voters. If you are registered to vote and have not received your ballot, contact the County Elections Department at 503-325-8605. That is in Clatsop County. Completed ballots must be returned to an official ballot drop box or the County Elections Office no later than 8 p.m. on January 23rd. Postmarks do not count. Unfortunately, it's too late to register to vote in the January election. This is Perspectives, and I'm your host, Joan Herman. Perspectives was engineered today by Graham Nystrom. The show can be heard every other Friday on the stations of Coast Community Radio. You also can find show podcasts on the station's website. If you would like to contact me, send me an email to perspectives@coastradio.org. Thanks for listening, and please vote. Thank you.